Chris McCool.
So good to be here with you this morning. You might turn to the fifth chapter of Romans. As you turn there, just I might note that I was really hoping that David would call on me first. That way, if I pick the 50-minute sermon, they can pick the 5-minute sermon, and we'll be all right. So we'll you brethren will be wise today, okay? Depending on how well I do. No, certainly we will try to be mindful of the time, and we do appreciate the church. I don't want to take too much time out of the message, except to say I thank you. I thank you. This is a wonderful place, and it's a precious place to us. In the fifth chapter of the book of Romans, there begins verse 3, a verse or two here that I believe would be helpful to us if we would understand it in its proper context, in its proper application. He says, beginning in verse 1, therefore being justified by faith. Now, therefore refers us back to what has gone before. When you see a therefore in the scriptures, I've heard it said you ought to ask what it's there for. So go back and read chapters 4 and 3 and 2 and all the way back to 1 and you'll get the context. But bottom line is he's talking to people of faith. And he says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So he's talking to people who have faith, and he's presuming that you're going to exercise that faith. He's not presuming that you're going to be faithless. He's not presuming that you're going to lose your mind when tribulations come, for example, and say, I don't know what to do. He's presuming that, like Mary, you are in the know. You understand what the Word of God says. And then he says in verse 3, and not only so, not only do we walk by faith in the context of which he's been talking, but he says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I want to speak to you for a few minutes this morning about our experience in walking with God. And I believe these verses 3 through 5, carry probably the most encouraging statements to us about our experience here in this life. Now, first of all, he talks about tribulation. Now, tribulations are just simply afflictions. The word in Greek, and I'm not trying to improve on the King James Bible because they translated it just right, but it gives us a little insight when you do a word study sometimes. The word in Greek has a root meaning of pressure. So you might even think about this, tribulations, as the pressures of life, the oppression that we experience, the persecutions that we have here, okay? Jesus told us that they would happen. He said, in this world ye shall have tribulation.
That's right.
He said, it's not a question of whether you're going to experience these things. We don't live in the world that Adam was created in. We live in the world that Adam gave to us through his fall. It is a sin-cursed world. There's a reason we're called strangers and pilgrims and sojourners in a strange land, because we're not at home here anymore.
Amen.
It's not our friend. The world is not your friend, beloved. If you're a child of God, the world is against you, and there's going to be tribulations. But Jesus went ahead to say, but be not dismayed, for I have overcome the world. You're going to have tribulations. Now notice he didn't say, I'm going to send you tribulations. That's important. That's important. He didn't say, I have prepared tribulations for you so that I can work you and make you stronger. That's not what he said, is it? Now, he suffers them to occur to us. He suffers them to happen to us. And he is not working with them. We talked about that last night, Brother Michael. He's not working with them. He's not working with Satan. He's not working with the Babylonian system of this world.
No.
He's overruling it. So don't misunderstand what the world says about this verse. They say, don't pray for patience, because if you pray for patience, God's going to send you tribulation. Let me tell you something, beloved. God's not sending tribulation. The tribulation is coming on you anyway.
Yeah.
It's coming on you anyway, okay? But if we are walking by faith, when the tribulation hits us, when the problems and pressures of life come close to overwhelming us, there is a way we can react to them that will help us not just in that tribulation, but it will help us in the future. You see, this is the progression here of the one who is walking by faith. It starts off with tribulation, the problems of life. And then it says, tribulation worketh patience. It works patience. It helps to exercise the muscle you already have in one sense. But it also, if you handle, now listen, patience doesn't mean sitting down in the recliner and leaning back and flipping through the channels. You know, I'm going to patiently wait for this tribulation. I'm going to pull the covers over my head and I'm going to crawl in bed and I'm going to stay there till the tribulation passes. That's not the kind, that's not patience. That's escapism, okay? Yeah. That's not patience. Patience literally means keeping on, keeping on. Yeah. Not giving up. You know, in Luke, the 19th chapter, you remember what the king said to his servants? He said, occupy till I come. Occupy. That doesn't mean go off in a corner and wait it out. That doesn't mean hide from the storm. That means you occupy, that transact business. The word there in Greek actually is pragmatism, okay? It means it's a very practical. Did you know the doctrine? You know, we think, oh, doctrine. I'm preaching a doctrinal message, so the theory is what's important. No, the practice of doctrine is what's important. Amen. The practical aspect of the doctrine, what's it worth if it's all about theory? We could climb up a mountain like the guru and sit up there and wait on people to come up there and the revelation to hit us and never interact with people at all. That's what the old monks thought they needed to do. Beloved, that's not what the children of God need to do. I think the people who were hermits and were considered to be so spiritual in the early church, in the early church days, when they got to heaven, the Lord was probably standing there with his arms crossed, tapping his foot, saying, what were you thinking? I didn't put you down here to get off by yourself. I put you down here so you could know the truth, and the truth would make you free, and you can share the truth with others. It helped to make them free, you see?
Yeah.
It's a practical thing. And he says, tribulation worketh patience. We aren't just to float through this world. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 31, when Moses was charging the children of Israel, he says, for ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein. I know we're strangers passing through, but we're to dwell in the land.
Yeah.
We're to possess it. We're not to let it possess us. We're to possess it. And when tribulations come, we are to glory in them, not in the fact that there are tribulations in this world. I don't glory in that. I hate that. But we're to glory in the midst of the tribulations in the same way that Jesus gloried in the cross. It didn't say he enjoyed the cross. He endured the cross. And he did it for the joy that was set before him. That's what we do, you see. So tribulation, when we experience it in the right way, when we do what we ought to do and we endure it with patience, guess what happens then? The tribulation works patience, but then patience works experience. You know, I feel sorry for some of you younger folks. I really do. And I understand why it's usually the teenage and college years when people sort of lose it and they go off track. It's because you don't have the experience that I have. I mean, I was there once, believe it or not. I still think of myself as a young preacher, but, you know, it's not quite the same anymore. You know, they don't quite see me that way. I'm a little bit older now, but I've got some experience that you don't have. You know, that's why it's so important to be active in the kingdom of God. And that's so important that we don't take our young people and segregate them out and put them over here so that they can be among. They don't need to learn from each other, okay? I was a young man once. I didn't need to learn from other young men, and I sure didn't need to be teaching them. I needed to learn from the older men, and I needed to be around the older folks. You know, there was a story one time, and I've been meaning to look it up again, about a place over in Africa where all the older elephants had been killed off. The decades-old elephants had been killed off. And all they had were young bull elephants in the area, and they went nuts. They went crazy. They started trampling over people and things, and they just were going wild. And they said, what do we do about this? And you know what they did to fix it? They brought in some 30- and 40-year-old mature bull elephants into that area, and put them back in there, and they handled the situation. Do you know that they, all those young bull elephants calmed down? They settled down because they had the older ones there, you see. Tribulation works experience. Experience is a proof. Literally, it is a specimen of tried worth. That's what experience is talking about here. There's one place, and I'm not going to go there. We don't have time this morning, but there's one place where God says, prove me, try me, test me. Now, we're not to test God. We're not to tempt God. We're not to question him in a bad. But he says, listen, over in Malachi chapter 3, he says, you do what you should do in your giving and in your lifestyle. He said, and prove me if I won't open the windows of heaven and bless you. Right. Now listen, I believe God because he says I can believe him. That's enough, okay? But now that I'm 52 years old, I also believe God because he has proven himself to me.
Right.
I've had those tribulations. I've acted a fool in those tribulations before, but sometimes I've acted in patience. I've acted in faith. And when I've done that, I have the experience now, you see, that God is going to be with me. He has been there. You know, the old king over in 1 Kings said, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he has promised us. I can testify to that. I've failed him many times, but he's never one time failed me. Not once has he ever failed me. That's not from what I read. I've read that, and I know it's true because I read it, and that's enough. I'm not preaching experience here. I'm not preaching that you need to go on your experience, but I'm preaching to you that if you'll go by the word of God, your experience will bear it out.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Our experience is important.
Amen.
And it says experience, when we have tribulation and we bear it in patience, we gain the experience of having gone through that tribulation and the God having delivered us, and now that experience works hope. Hope. It's the same word for belief. It's the same word for belief, hope and belief. It's a confident expectation. It's not a wish. Oh, I wish it would get better. No, I am confident now that it will get better because it has gotten better in the past when I've endured the temptation patiently. Okay? And guess what happens when all that comes together? It says, hope maketh not ashamed. Well, I'll tell you. When I have endured tribulation impatiently, when I have not acted in faith, I have looked back and I have been very ashamed of how I acted. You ever seen somebody that the bad times come and they just lose it? They just lose it. The way I put it is, you know, there's been many times I've acted a fool in the midst of tribulation. I've just gone nuts. I've gone crazy. And you know, in every situation, the Lord's still been faithful to me. But I didn't endure it properly. And so instead of having a good feeling about it, I was ashamed of the way I acted. I was ashamed of what happened. But see, now I have experience with God. And again, that's why it's so important for us all to be worshiping together. Because you have some experience with God that I don't have. I have some experience with God that others don't have. What you have endured is specific to you, but I can look to you and see you have endured it and God has brought you through it. And guess what? He's done that with me too. And now I am not ashamed of God or of myself because of the way I've acted. Let me give you an example as we bring this to a close. In the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, we read the story of David coming up against a giant of a tribulation, a giant of a problem, a literal giant. You may have giants in your lives, but I bet you don't have one like David had. His was the giant, okay? And he was just a little boy. Now, this is a young man at 16, I'm not sure, 17, whatever his age was. I'm not sure I would have handled this the way David did, but what David had done in his life is he had come upon tribulation, and he had endured it patiently by faith, and that patience had worked some experience in his life, and that experience had given him hope, and so when the real giant came upon the scene, he wasn't ashamed. Notice what it said as he's talking to Saul. We don't have time. You read it sometime, but in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 34, David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Now, what would you have done? What would I have done? I probably would have gone crazy and run home screaming to daddy. I would have been scared to death. That wouldn't have been something that I probably wouldn't have endured it patiently, Brother David. I would have run off, you know, acted crazy, flipped out, whatever you want to call it. But he says, I went after him because that was his job, you see. That was his job. I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And he goes on to tell about that story and how he slew him. And then verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. That is a perfect example of Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. The tribulation came. He patiently endured it. He was faithful in it. It worked an experience in him that gave him hope that in this next tribulation, the Lord will deliver him as well. Now, as I bring this to a close, I want to show you one other thing about this story here. You know the rest of the story, that he kills Goliath through the power of God. He attributes all of it to God. And down at the very, towards the end of the story, verse 54, we're told that after he cut his head off, it said he took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. And look at the very last, but he put his armor in his tent. Now, why did he do that? Why did David put the armor of Goliath in his tent? Could it be that David decided, you know, there's going to be times in the future when I'm going to need a reminder that God has been with me in my life. Amen. There's going to be times when I need a trophy, not a trophy of my own prestige and power, but a trophy of the grace of God that I can go back to and I can look at. Do you know that's what I have in my life? I hope you have it in your life. I have some trophies of the grace of God. Amen. I'm here today as a trophy of the grace of God, okay? And the church I pastor is a trophy of the grace of God. I've been there for 9 years nearly now, going on a decade of being there at Zion Church. And there's, you know how it is in a church, you have ups and downs. You have bumpy times. You have times when things aren't going so great. You know what I do in those times? I look back to the beginning and I think about the time that I baptized 6 people and one of the people came running down and nearly did a cannonball into the baptistry. She wanted to be baptized so bad. So I think about those wondrous times of God's grace and mercy getting me through tribulations and guiding me, and the tribulation has worked patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and beloved, I am not ashamed. Amen. Praise God.